may remain seated. Grace and peace and every blessing to you in this new year from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We consider the word of the Lord which comes to us in Luke chapter 2, we read verse 21. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. This is the word of the Lord. Lord, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. In Jesus' name, who is, who was, and who is to come, our Savior in flesh and in glory, dear fellow redeemed. Are you pessimistic or realistic? With all the superstitions, plans, and resolutions that come with the new year, how many of them really make any difference from what happened last year? This year, too, will come to an end, just like 2012. This year will give us some of the same highlights, births and marriages, happy occasions. It will give us some of the same sorrow, sickness, and death will come. Yes, 2013 will not be much different, especially when it comes to sin. The circumcision was a part of the law given to Abraham that on the 8th day, a child of Abraham, a descendant, was to be circumcised and given his name. This falls for us, according to the church year, on January 1st, 8 days after Christmas. What a fitting place to consider this event, which is just one verse long in Luke. Because in the coming of Christ, in his shedding blood, in his being a part of Israel, in his fulfilling the old covenant, he truly has brought us something new. Yes, in Jesus, our life has truly begun. And it is a life that will have no end. So let's be optimistic. Let's remember what this day is about. It's not just a new beginning to try again this year, but it's a new beginning that never ends. The circumcision of Jesus was the parents' way of keeping the law of Moses. It was Jesus' way of being brought into the people of Israel. In order for a child to become a part of the congregation of Israel, circumcision was the means. It was a means to gain membership, if you will. And it was done on the 8th day. That number 8 has some significance to it. There's actually a discipline among theologians called numerology, and it consists in the study of the numbers of Scripture and what their significance is. And they found that the 8 has some significance to it. The number 6 symbolizes an incompleteness. The number 7 symbolizes a completeness and a perfection. And then the number 8 seems to symbolize eternity. And so you have the 6 days of creation, where everything was very good, but then it was on the 7th day that the Lord rested from all his works. Things were complete and finished. Finally, this is followed by the 8th day, which is eternity. And if you think about it, we never really made it to this day. We're still stuck on day 6 because we have never really rested from our works. In this world, we are still laboring under something that's incomplete. God gave circumcision to Abraham as a sign of the covenant, the covenant where he promised to bless him and to bring forth from his seed a Savior, one who would be a blessing to all the world. And so Genesis 17 speaks of how God gave him this and calls it a sign of the covenant. a sign of something God had already given to Abraham before he was circumcised, when he called him out of his homeland to be his special people, to bear the Savior of our race. And so in this sense, it was a sign of God's grace that he was among his people, that these were his special people under the old covenant. So that eighth day was something very special for you if you were a Jewish child. That eighth day was the day where you entered into the fellowship of God's people. A day where you received the blessing of the promise, the blessing of grace and forgiveness, which took you out of the world and into God's presence. In many ways, it's parallel to how under the new covenant we have baptism, where we enter into that fellowship of God's people. Of course, without faith, all this is meaningless. And that's what happened. At the time of Christ, circumcision had no longer been a sign of God's blessing for his people to be with them. It had turned into something man does for God. How many New Year's resolutions turn into much the same thing? Now, don't get me wrong, to quit smoking or to go on a diet is a good thing. The problem is when people start to look at this as the way that they satisfy God, the way they make their lives right, as if a sudden few changes in outward things are going to solve a problem that really lies within. So also Paul writes of circumcision, he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. So circumcision was meaningless if it was trusted in as the means in which God accepted the Israelite. Paul also writes, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. Yes, the real meaning of circumcision was a removal of the flesh, a cutting off of sin. It was something that went to the heart. It was a new creation. So when any outward thing that we do takes the place of God's creative work of saving us, it really becomes fruitless. When your membership in this congregation, just like their membership in Israel, is what you trust in to get you to heaven, all is lost. You remain under a burden and a curse. When your church attendance becomes that which you trust in to satisfy God, again, you're leaving yourself under the curse of the old covenant, which demands more than we can give. It demands a perfect heart. And so the true removal of the flesh is a faith that trusts in the works of God, in the works of Christ. For Jesus is our new creation. As he said in Matthew chapter 5, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Jesus came to make complete what was incomplete, to take us from the sixth day where we are laboring into the seventh day of rest and into the eighth day of eternity. He took the burden of the old covenant, which was incomplete, and fulfilled it all, so that his shedding of blood has become the atonement and the payment for your sins. Yes, he brought an end to this law and ushered in something that would never end, a new heart, something clean and perfect, to cut off those things that we cling so tightly to and bury them in his death. It was his name. That name Jesus comes from the Hebrew, Joshua, means Jehovah saves. It is the fulfillment. And this is not just any name. This is the name given under among men, under heaven, by which we must be saved. No other name. It is God's salvation. So that when we say the name of Jesus, we are saying God has saved us. He has kept the old covenant, the law, for us, and ushered us into eternity. This is for us new again and again in repentance and faith. That's why Luther wrote of baptism, it means the old Adam in us should be drowned by daily contrition and repentance and die with all sins and evil desires, and that a new man should appear daily and arise, who lives eternally before God in righteousness and purity. The New Year's resolutions we come up with are never enough. And yet, here's one that God has come up with. A faith that trusts in the works of God, in Christ, in the fulfillment, that now resolves to do all things new, to cast off the works of the flesh, and live in eternity. And that's what the new man does. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avail anything, but faith working through love. And so we find that faith receives the true fulfillment. It completes what was incomplete. It rests on the seventh day. You remember the Sabbath was the seventh day, a day where the Jews would hear the word of God, a day to worship, receive the gifts of God's heavenly kingdom. This is our day of rest in this world, when we approach God's word, when we receive what God has given to us in Christ, and when we trust in his promises. This is the seventh day. And in the new man, we are already partially into that eighth day, eternity. This is the beginning of our new life. So are you pessimistic or realistic? Our resolutions, according to trying to appease God, will never succeed. They'll come to an end. This year will come to an end, just like last year, and maybe even sooner than we think. It could end today. It could end tomorrow. I want this to be your optimistic 2013. Because whatever day, if you die today or die tomorrow, this is really the beginning of eternity for you. Because in Christ, your death is only the beginning. It is the full completion of the eighth day, where we receive what we were given in baptism. Have you ever counted how many sides there are on the baptismal font? You probably haven't. But take some time to count it sometime. There's eight sides. And that's because your baptism was already your entrance into life. It was the washing of all your sins. It was the giving of the new man, the new creation. For Christ has fulfilled all things and has given you the gift of eternal life on this eighth day. Yes, we look forward to our new beginning, which we already have received and will fully receive when we are ushered into God's heavenly kingdom to be in the presence of our Savior Jesus forever. Amen.